All right, everyone, welcome back to another episode here on the 5571 podcast. My name is Danny, and we are joined today by another special guest, Mondo from Five Fires YouTube. Welcome, Mondo.
Welcome, everybody. Glad to be back, Danny. What an interesting start of the week with D23. And things are heating up at the theme parks.
Yes, definitely are. We're getting close to that time now. We've talked about it before on this show. There's a lot of things essentially coming on the horizon, right? We've got construction really ramping up both on Haunted Mansion, Tiana's Bayou Adventure. We've got stuff going on at Universal Studios. We've got Knott's Berry Farm with Camp Snoopy's. There's just a ton of stuff going on with theme parks. So we're going to start talking about some of that today. But more importantly, I wanted to record an episode tonight talking with Mondo about the D23 ticket experience. I know, Mondo, you yourself weren't in the queue for today's presale. You're going to be doing that, I think, tomorrow or the next day. You had a lot of people, though, reach out to you.
Yeah, I'm getting into, because I have a visa, so I'm not a gold member, but I can't wait to talk about this process of D23. I feel like every year is stressful, and it did not fail to be stressful.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like it's been every single time they have D23, there's some sort of, at least when they started doing this virtual queue system, whether it's a lottery system that they had going on or whether it was just getting a ticket in general. I think last D23, they had a similar situation come where they had to delay the sale of the tickets on the day of the event, stop doing it, and it was just a whole thing. So, but we'll get into that. So essentially what I wanted to talk about today was talk about my experience in being able to get tickets. And also some of the experiences that Mondo received and feedback, and just kind of talking about it with his audience to hopefully help you guys better prepare for tomorrow and for Thursday if you're trying to go. I have some good tips in regards to the best ways to kind of come up with different options if you maybe get in there and don't get to see what you want right away. But we've broke it down before on the podcast last time on tickets and what there are available. So we know there's two different types of tickets. There's a ticket that's just for the Anaheim Convention Center, and then there's a ticket that is for the Anaheim Convention Center plus the Honda Center. And the Honda Center ticket also includes a reserved seat for your presentation on the day that you select, or all 3 days if you happen to get a 3-day ticket. The Anaheim Convention Center only ticket is called a fan ticket, and then the ticket that includes the Honda Center is called the Ultimate Fan Ticket. And so this time around, some things that were different, obviously we have Honda Centers, that's new, but we're having reserved seating, right? We've always had the ability to just kind of queue up and pick a spot in the presentation panel based on when you get in line. And sometimes that can mean you don't get in the presentation. So this time around was different because we get to pick a seat. So we were going to be like kind of a mystery on what it is that, you know, what was the queue going to look like? Do we pick a seat right away? Do we not pick a seat right away? Does that determine kind of like what we can get, what we can't get? So I kind of went into it. We talked a little bit about it on Speculation Sunday on Mondo's YouTube channel. I went into it with a few options in hand. So if I knew that the three-day ticket was going to sell out, okay, I'm going to go this route. And if that sold out, I was going to go this route. So I had multiple options so I could check different ones. And that was essentially my experience when I got in. But starting right off the bat, Mondo, you were receiving feedback from people and just viewing it yourself right when it kicked off. What was kind of what you were experiencing or hearing?
Let me break it down. It seemed like people got in the queue way before the time that was stated, which was 12 o'clock, right?
Yeah, 12 p.m. Pacific.
Yeah, that wasn't the case. People got in the queue, it seemed like 6, 7, 8 a.m. Some queue just opened and people were able to get in it. Not to say that like the line moved that let you know the progress of where you were in line, but people were able to enter a queue. The big thing is that 12 o'clock came, and the queue moved for nobody. Nothing happened. It was just an overwhelming disaster, which everybody expected. And then everybody got like an update around just 3 or 4 o'clock. And then it seemed like things sped up pretty fast. But the big thing I got out of it, Danny, is that this queue got up to like 30,000.
Yeah.
And the Honda Center in Anaheim Convention, I don't think could accommodate that. At least for what the event's trying to do. So, and that, and we're just talking gold members. You know what I mean? So now that it's going to be open to Visa tomorrow, what are we looking at? Like 50,000?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, Mondo, because you had to be, I don't necessarily know that you had to be a gold member to be in the queue. And I think that was kind of the confusing thing. So that could be why we were at the 30,000 mark. Because it did let you queue up even if you weren't a gold member. But then when you got to the actual screen, when you select tickets, it said you must be a gold member. And actually, when I first got in, when it was my turn to purchase tickets, I was encountered with the screen that says you're not a gold member. And then I scrolled up to the top and I looked and I was like, well, I know I was logged in. So then I just immediately hit refresh and then it was available. So I was kind of like glitching out all over the place. But yeah, Mondo was correct. Essentially, right at 12 o'clock when the queue went live, we had, you know, the queue start. The little dude was showing up on the screen and that little walking queue line. But it wasn't moving. And it didn't seem like we were moving. And then essentially a few people who had really the amazing luck of getting in right away were let in and found out that the tickets actually weren't on sale and that Disney or whoever did the back-end system had inputted the dates incorrect. And,
yeah, I found that out too.
Yeah, they weren't for sale yet, even though they were for sale. If that's confusing you, I don't know. But so Disney quickly found out about this, and so they issued an update, like Mondo was saying, and they paused it. And they said, hey, we're aware of this issue. Don't leave the page if you are here and you can't do anything. And then we'll let you know when we resume. And then when we resume, you refresh and you should be able to do it. So unfortunately, I think some people left already because they got to the screen where you could buy tickets and then the tickets weren't for sale. And then their timer to be able to buy tickets ran out. So now that person was no longer eligible to buy tickets anymore using their IP address. And so they had to get back in the queue again. So I feel like some of those people got lost out. But like Mondo was saying, people were joining the queue as early as 5, 6 a.m., even though it wasn't technically open yet. We're not really sure if it does prioritize those people. You know, they jump in way before 12. So I don't know. They said it's random and whatnot, but I feel like there was a lot of people waiting already. I was waiting on my phone and my laptop. My phone joined the queue just before 6:30 in the morning, and my laptop joined the queue just before 8 a.m. My laptop was assigned 11,800 for my spot in line. And my iPhone, which joined the queue before 6:30, was assigned 33,000, like Mondo was saying. So my iPhone never even made it to the point where you could buy tickets, but my laptop did, thankfully. And I was able to get in.
The crazy part I want to ask, Danny, just your opinion, like you're a gold member and you missed out. Now you're in the Hunger Games trying to get any ticket tomorrow or the next day. Like how does this leave the gold members? I feel like it's like, why am I a gold member now?
Yeah.
That's how I would feel. Cause I feel like a lot of people bought gold to get this like one day advantage and now it's gone.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like, I think the hard part is that this was the first time Disney was ever doing something like this, right? Where you're picking a seat. If you've ever bought a ticket on Ticketmaster for a concert, This was exactly the same way. It was no different. You're in a queue. Your time is up. You are now shown a map of the venue, and you click a section, and there's all these little colored dots, and the colored dots represent like seats, or you can just click best available, and it will go to the most expensive best seat that you can get. And what I saw, Mondo, and I don't know if you saw this too, but I saw it a lot, especially people that were messaging me about it. A lot of people got in. They didn't really know what they were doing because maybe they haven't used Ticketmaster before. They haven't experienced that where you have to like interact with the map, and they were just panicking. And when you saw the map, this was happening to me too. You saw the seats disappearing right there live. You could see all the little dots going away when you go to click up. And in my case, I tried two different times to select seats, and it said that someone else had chosen them. So there was a couple people that messaged me and that I saw online that ended up buying way more expensive tickets than they had planned just because they panicked and just bought something because they were afraid they weren't going to get anything. I don't know if you experienced that too from people talking to you about it.
I want you to talk about the concept of keeping a group together, trying to get these tickets. Cause I feel like that was like an underrated topic to speak about, because D23 is like a group gathering. People go in bunches. And now you have this numbered seats over there at the Honda Center. Like, I feel like it's getting more complicated. Talk about that, Danny.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought this up, because I was going to bring it up as well too. The situation was, it was, I don't necessarily know if this was, obviously this was Qt, but I don't know if the ticketing system after Qt was Ticketmaster, because it seemed exactly like Ticketmaster, where you get a map, you pick your seat, you pay the fees and all that kind of stuff. But to your point, Ticketmaster also does this thing where, like, let's just say if you're one person and you're just trying to go, which I feel like there's a lot of those kind of people too at D23. They don't let you do that. Like, and I was trying to buy two tickets. I wasn't trying to buy one. And when I clicked the one, it told me when there was seats available, and I clicked the one, and when I clicked it, it said I couldn't buy it because I had to buy more than one.
Wow.
Because it's doing that Ticketmaster thing where it's saying you can't leave a seat empty next to you, because then there's like a leftover seat and they can't sell it with as a pair or with four or with three. Yeah. And so when you're buying tickets on Ticketmaster for a concert, a lot of times if you're just one person trying to go, that's not even possible because you have to buy more than one.
I've been through that exact process you're talking about where you're like, yeah, but I want this one seat.
Yeah. So even for you, who's just trying to buy that one ticket, you know, for yourself to go on the theme park day yourself, if you're not buying more than one, I don't know what that's going to look like.
Yeah, it's going to be weird.
You might have to pick, I think the way it works is you might have to pick a seat that's on the aisle if you can find one.
I know.
Because they're like being specific about you not leaving a seat empty that's by itself. And at first glance too, if you're not familiar with like that Ticketmaster kind of system, I knew that I could click another seat and it was fine. But like when you clicked a seat and then it would turn red, like you can't do this because you're leaving a seat empty. But it most, you know, if I saw that and I wasn't familiar with the system, I would have like, oh man, I can't get this seat because it's not available. Like I can't do it. But the reality is when I clicked another seat next to it, then it became available because it just didn't want you to buy one. It wanted you to buy two or more. And so at first glance, I would just get out of that and I would be like, oh man, it's not available. But in fact, it was. You just had to buy more than one. So it's a little confusing. I will say that aspect of it all. And also the other thing too, you mentioned about the like, trying to just kind of keep your group together. Another thing that happens too, because all the tickets and everything are changing so fast in real time, you can go in and then there's seats not available there, and then they're starting to disappear. And then if you go out and refresh it, all of a sudden a whole section is available that wasn't available when you were in before. So it's like, it's weird that that happened when I was trying to buy tickets for Taylor Swift, and like this, it's like weird. Like, it's like they let sections come and go as they want. I don't know. I don't really know how it works, but it, they've got some kind of algorithm, I'm sure, that makes sure that everything gets filled up. But I definitely, Mondo, I don't know about you, I kind of felt like there was a lot of negativity surrounding the ticket pricing and tickets before they even went on sale. So I was amazed to see it sell out so quickly. What about you?
The pricing had no effect on buying. The buying power is there. People want it. The demand's there.
Yeah, that's, dude. But yeah, to everyone wondering,
I'm really curious if people, you know, the people that are the high rollers, if they're like, hey, I couldn't get the ground level, it just sold out. I wonder if anybody had that conversation today.
that whole section was in its own like area, so I didn't even go in that section because I was just like,
I'm just gonna click it tomorrow, Danny. I just want, if I get through, I want to see if people are actually buying that.
Just click it. You got 10 minutes to do what you need to do. Because, like, you're essentially, you get through and you're on this screen that has like all these different tiles on it. And you want to make sure, and it's not really clear, Mondo. So make sure that you know the ticket that you're trying to buy, because they don't make it that clear. Because you can click, you could very easily click the 1 day and 3 day for the convention center only and not know that you're buying that and thinking that you're getting the Honda Center one, because it's not clear. You have to know that the tickets are called Fan Pass, Ultimate Fan Pass, and Preferred Ultimate Fan Pass. Because if you don't know those, there's no other indicator telling you what ticket you're buying. You just got to know that. So that was the first thing I noticed right away. So for those that are listening, make sure you know Preferred are the expensive ones that are on the floor. Ultimate Fan Pass are the ones that include Honda Center. And then Fan Pass is just Convention Center. But yeah, that's a first thing right away I wanted to share with people on the podcast, because I knew that would create confusion. Because I know for me anyway, I clicked the wrong one right away because I wasn't paying attention to the fact that it's Ultimate Fan Pass.
Not even that, you're in this, like, I have 10 minutes, I gotta get it done.
Yeah, you're rushed. So. But I know to people who are asking, like, hey, which ticket did you actually get? Because I got that question a lot. So I'll share it right now. I tried to get in there and get the 3 day ticket that included the Honda Center. So the 3 day Ultimate Fan Pass. When I went into the 3 day Ultimate Fan Pass and I selected the venue, the only seats that were available were the really expensive ones, the ones that were in the 200 section, like $500-$700. And there was very few. I'm talking like, it looked like less than 20. Mm. And I was not prepared to spend that much money. So I went into it knowing I only wanted to get the highest available seats, like the ones in the top. So I went with my second option. So I immediately, as soon as I saw that, I did my trick where, like, I go out and then I come back in and it didn't change. In fact, it got worse and less tickets were available. So I knew tickets were selling. So at that point I was like, I'm not going to mess around.
You just got to get it done.
I backed out and I went with my second choice, which is to prioritize what I actually wanted to do. And for me, I only wanted to do the theme parks the most. We talked about that on Speculation Sunday on Mondo's YouTube channel. So I did, I backed out. I went to the 1 day Ultimate Fan Pass, which is what you're trying to get, Mondo, tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then I went on Saturday. And then as soon as I got in the 1 day one, for the same venue, same thing, there was tons of availability. So they're definitely limiting each section. So I booked a seat in the upper levels, for the 1 day Saturday only, and it was the cheapest ticket option, the $99 one that includes the convention center and then also the Honda Center at night with a reserved seat. The seat picking was a little slow and loaded kind of slow too, so that kind of delayed it, and you kind of get stressed, like, oh my gosh, is this gonna load? Am I going to get this completed in time? There was a $9 processing fee, and then there was a $14 shipping fee that everyone has to pay, no matter what. There's only two options to get your tickets. One is will call, and one is shipping. If you are someone that lives in the United States, you don't have the option to do the will call. It's only for people that live outside the U.S. So everyone who lives in the U.S. has to pick shipping, which means you're going to get charged $14. So just keep that in mind as well, too.
In a day where things are all digital, they're like, we're going to ship it to you.
I know. And then as far as the other day, so I got the one-day ticket that included the Honda Center for the theme park announcement day on Saturday. And then as far as Friday and Sunday, I just got convention center only tickets. So I bought a ticket for each singular day. And I still spent less money than I thought I was going to spend. So I knew the cheapest 3-day ticket was $297. And in total for all of my tickets, I was $291, including the fees. So, in reality, the tickets were a lot cheaper. So, because the base price for the $297 one was, that's what it was, the base price. You saw all the fees and everything to add on top of that. I think most people said the $297 ticket, Mondo, the 3-day ticket at the highest possible seating, the people that got in first right away, they said that like that ticket was essentially like impossible. Like it was like two rows along the backside that actually had that price, and everything else below it like increased it by like $100.
Wow. So don't even think of buying that one. You're going to have to buy the second lowest, it seems.
Yeah, because in reality, if you take the two different tickets, so the 3-day ticket for the Honda Center and the convention center is $297 if you get the cheapest price, right? And then buying each individual day, it's $99 for the cheapest price. 99 times 3 is $297. So it's the same like dollar value. So in all reality, if you can't find the 3-day ticket, there's a chance you can still go in and buy all the individual day tickets too. So that's always an option. You got to carry around more than one ticket with you. So you got to remember like, okay, I'm wearing a lanyard, so I got to swap out, you know, Friday's ticket with Saturday. So I'll be doing that. And I've done that in past years too, because the 3-day tickets have sold out before. But I feel like Mondo was right when we were talking about it earlier. I think everyone was just going for that 3-day ticket, no matter what. So, but all in all, I think the experience wasn't good, but I mean, most D23 buying experiences have never been good. I was going to ask you though, Mondo, when it came to getting tickets for Destination D23, how was that different?
If I could remember, the tickets were sold out instantly, and I actually got lucky. Okay. That's how the one for Florida, Destination D23, I don't even think it lasted like 2 or 3 minutes, if I can remember. But I got in. I was one of the lucky ones that just got in. And then honestly, that Destination D23 was the last time they really said something like solid. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It was.
And not the other D23s, but it was Destination D23.
Yeah. And to Mondo's point, for those that don't know, Destination D23 is sort of like the smaller D23 that happens on the off years, since D23 is every other year. And it's happening in Florida. And it's unique in the sense that every person who buys a ticket to Destination D23 can attend every single panel. So sort of like this one where you're now guaranteed a spot. It's sort of the same thing at Destination D23, but you're not guaranteed an actual seat, right, Mondo? You're just guaranteed access to that panel if you want to go to
it. Yes. You don't know where you're sitting, put it that way.
But you know, hey, I can get there if I want to.
But you're going to get in, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
And lots of cool prizes, or not prizes, but just giveaways came from that one.
That's awesome. I know you guys got I think they got an Alexa.
Alexa, but like the Disney version.
Echo Show. They gave him an Echo Show with the Disney cover for it because they announced the Hey Disney
in the version hotel room
of the Amazon Echo product. So that was cool. That was cool. But yeah, all in all, I think if you're listening to this podcast and you're trying to prepare for tomorrow, or I guess when you're listening to this later today, you're going to essentially look at all the ticket types. Look at that ticket buying guide on the D23 app because that is, or the D23 website, sorry. They have a ticket buying guide step by step. That ticket buying guide is like spot on to the experience. It'll let you at least see what the system looks like so you can get familiar with that. The queue system, it's based on your IP address. So don't worry about like if your phone locks or if you accidentally refreshed the page or you don't have it up on the home screen kind of situation. It doesn't matter. It's going to still keep your spot. If you can do it from a laptop or from a computer where you can keep the screen up, obviously I think that's a little bit better, but it does hold your spot essentially. And a little cool thing, Mondo, that I don't know if you've had this happen when you'd done the queue it, but when it was my turn, it played like this really loud jingle and like kind of scared me a little bit, but it was like kind of a thing. So if you have it on the background, you know, oh, it's my time.
Yeah.
But yeah, they, once the tickets actually went on sale and the system was no longer broken, I would say what, Mondo, they were on sale for maybe 30 minutes.
It was quick. It didn't last long at all.
And then they sold out. So even their allotment of just tickets for the convention center only, those were selling out. So definitely be quick about it. And that's why I said have options ready and available, because you do have a limited time to complete your transaction. And there's a lot of steps to complete. You got to fill out a shipping address. You got to fill out a billing address. You have to put the names you want registered. And then you got to go through all the merch and tell them if you do want it or you don't want it. So that's a whole other thing with it too. I opted for no merch. Are you going to get any merch, Mondo?
No, I'm going to get merch when I'm there.
That's what I thought too. That's what
I'd rather the buying experience like in person.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Danny, for the people listening, you have to have a plan B. Mm-hmm. Like I don't, there's no going into this without having like plan B already like solved. 10 minutes is not enough time to like, what do I want this day or this only the convention, not the Honda. Like you got to know already. So be ready for plan B. Cause that's what it's sounding like. I feel like a lot of people ended up with plan B. It's just, what they wanted, you know, those 3 days, they couldn't get it. They couldn't get the ones they wanted.
I agree. Plan B is the course of action, because, and just knowing too that there are other options and you're not going to lose out, right? If you're buying single day tickets, you're paying the same price. The only time the single day tickets are costing you more is when you're buying just the convention center. Because if you buy the 3-day convention center only ticket, you do save $50. So me personally buying convention center only tickets for Friday and for Sunday, I did pay a little more, but there was still a gold discount of $10. So they ended up being $79 each for those days, which isn't bad for all the access you're getting during that. But let's go ahead and transition away from D23 tickets. I think we've covered this enough, and if you want to see a little bit more of a Q&A about it and you're still kind of on the fence, we did that on Mondo's Five Fires YouTube channel. We did Speculation Sunday this couple days ago before this episode posted, and we did some Q&A and some live chat about that, so you can re-watch that recap if you wanted to. But next, I wanted to talk about something new that came to Universal Studios. And Mondo actually had a chance to experience that today, I believe.
Yeah.
So talk about that.
It is something brand new. I think it's, I don't even know if they're considering it like open.
or not. Like, technically, I don't know if this is a soft opening, but it is called Florian Fortescue's Soft Serve Ice Cream, and it is in Honey Dukes, inside the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. There was a lot to choose from, Danny. It wasn't like it was just butterbeer ice cream. They had orange, mint, butterbeer, banana, vanilla, pistachio, toffee, apple, Granny Smith, toffee nut, and chocolate. And you were able to get it in a waffle cone for $8.29, or you could have got it in a cup at $7.29. And then they also have a souvenir cup. You could get it for $10.50. So kind of on the pricey end, but these theme parks, that's just what it's become. Mm-hmm. I had a chance to try the butterbeer, and it was delicious. I loved it. It was, I didn't even have to think about it. It was just a delicious vanilla, and then it's like infused in swirls of butterbeer. Home run, without a doubt. It's going to be popular for sure. We're heading into the hot season over here in California. So once the word gets out that there's ice cream from Harry Potter, I feel like it's going to be a staple. Because butterbeer in general is like super sold, or just something that sells tremendous.
Yeah. And for those that maybe are listening and that aren't really quite sure, kind of where this comes from or where it's from, this is in, like Mondo said, it's in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter at Universal Studios Hollywood. And in Universal Studios Hollywood, this particular Florian Fortescue location is inside the Honey Dukes location as like kind of an add-on. In Florida, they've had this location, and it's thematically where it's supposed to be, in Diagon Alley. Because if you guys have been to Walt Disney World, Universal Orlando, they have Diagon Alley in the Universal Studios park, and then in the Islands of Adventure park is where their Hogsmeade is. So in the Diagon Alley, Florian Fortescue's is a location standalone, like a normal ice cream location. But we don't have Diagon Alley here. So kind of a cool thing that they like in world made it thematically correct, where they could like do another branch of Florian Fortescue's ice cream parlor as sort of like a pop-up inside of Honey Dukes, and it works well. And I think from all the pictures I saw, Mondo, they fit it really well into there. They took out did they take out like the joke part of the candy shop or another section? I couldn't really kind of place what
it was. The joke, yeah, all that's gone, just pretty much gone. It's really just Honey Dukes now. I think that's the best way to describe it. I kind of feel like a lot of that merch that was in there was just not something popular at all. And now going with the whole idea of ice cream, it's going to be popular.
It's going to sell, yeah, for sure.
I remember when I went to Universal Orlando, the line was just too big. So I never had a chance to buy the ice cream because when you're in Orlando, the last thing I want to do is wait an hour for ice cream.
Right. And everyone's waiting for it because it's so hot.
Yeah, and that's going to be the case in California soon.
Exactly. And as far as the ice cream, it's all soft serve. And the way they incorporate the flavor, they kind of like ribbon the flavor into the ice cream. So they all kind of start off as like a vanilla base, right? And then like the flavor is kind of ribboned into it.
Yep, and I had a chance to see the pistachio version. It was just the same, like a ribbon pistachio into the vanilla.
Yeah, so it's kind of like vanilla transforms into all these flavors, but it's really good ice cream. I've had it myself in Florida, and I'm sure this one's just as good. And this is again inside Wizarding World of Harry Potter, in the Honey Dukes location, which is on the left when you first walk in. It's the candy store. And then as far as like places to eat it, do you have to kind of immediately take it out, like actual small tables in there, like you can stand?
No seating table, nothing in there. And for the ice cream, it's something you want to eat right away.
Because I felt like it just melts. Like you have like 10 minutes to eat that thing. It's going to melt.
Yeah, for sure. That's how I remember it too.
Yeah, it's just like a ice cream and go.
And then the other thing I want to mention, since we're talking about Universal, I know you were there today. What was the progress looking like on the brand new roller coaster that they're building for Fast and Furious?
More support meme on the upper lot area. The big changes is that the hillside now has holes, and you can see the foundations being just cemented, which are going to be for the roller coaster. No track, like actual big track pieces have arrived, like anywhere that I could see, just small, but, the real big progress where it really looks like they're finishing up is the holes for foundation on the opposite side of the escalator. So on the other side, more towards like Simpsons Ride, down over there. Yeah. They're really getting it going. The thing about this roller coaster construction, they are literally moving at light speed. It's incredible to see. And it makes me wonder if they're really trying to, is this something for next year? It's getting interesting. It's getting interesting. I don't think this is like a 2026 project. I think this might be a 2025, but we'll see. It's a little early.
And the other thing I was going to ask too, Mondo, this whole situation for the roller coaster being so close to Simpsons Land, I know that right next to Simpsons Land, if you guys are familiar with Universal Studios Hollywood, they had the animal actors show and the stunt show that were right next to each other that they demolished to make way for this roller coaster. In regards to like the show buildings or like the, I guess the entrance station for this roller coaster. Do you think we're going to be seeing any of the Simpsons stuff be demolished as well because they're so close to it?
I totally think so. The big one that I think is on the chopping block is everything surrounding the construction that's on the upper lot. So we're talking the ice cream of Simpsons, the pizza shop of Simpsons, and then it leads into Duff Beer Garden with the taco truck. I feel like a lot of that is being eyed. Being eyed as possibly just being deconstructed to make way for the future. I feel like the conversation of Simpsons being closed forever, I feel like it's been rumored for like 3-4 years now. Maybe its time is coming in the near future, like the next 5 years, 10 years. I don't think it makes it 10 years. I'll say 5 year. Those ones that are like touching that construction area. So everything to the left, so opposite of Moe's Tavern, I think it might be on the chopping block.
That's kind of, we had talked about that before, and I was curious if it was looking like that based on construction, because I know...
Not yet, but I feel like it is, though. Feel like they're looking at it.
All right.
I want to get to Disneyland, Danny. I want to talk some Disneyland.
That was next. So we are on the horizon, right, of many things kind of starting as far as construction over at Disneyland. We are waiting for Disneyland Forward approval. And we got the first round of approval, right? We've talked about that on this podcast. And we know that projects are going to start as soon as that final approval comes through. But we're hearing some rumors now, right? We know the Avatar experience is coming to Disneyland. And we know that Bob Iger has referred to it as a land multiple times. And then his PR teams are quick to change the verbiage to talk about
this is an experience
because they can't call it a land yet until, you know, whenever that time is. Or maybe it is never a land. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. We're just kind of going based off the fact that they called Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, which was a Star Wars land, the Star Wars experience at Disneyland for the longest time until they were able to actually call it a land. after they debuted it. So, and it's not going to be called Avatar Land, right? I mean, we have Pandora, the world of Avatar at Walt Disney World. So whatever version of Avatar we get, I'm sure it'll be something similar. Disney's kind of gone away from calling things land, I would imagine, since Cars Land. I think that was the only one. But
everything's adventure.
Yeah, everything's something like that.
Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway Adventure, right?
So if you were to guess, Mondo, would you say Avatar Experience, would be a better fit for Disney California Adventure or Disneyland?
Honestly, if you ask me, I would always throw it at Disneyland just because it's going to be such a sight to be seen. Avatar in Florida, as many times as you could walk into that land, you're always just, the wow factor always hits you. And I feel like something like that deserves to be at Disneyland. But the rumblings we're hearing, and I feel like it's just getting stronger and stronger, is that it might go to California Adventure. We heard this rumbling a while ago, and then the question, where the heck do you put a big Avatar Land? Well, the answer is nowhere, because there's no space, but people keep talking and rumoring and speculating that it could go to Hollywood Land. And what greater spot to literally put a movie IP this grand than in Hollywood Land. I feel like at that point, it's like, oh, well, that makes sense. So next to Monsters, Inc., Stage 17. But then the question is, well, there's buildings surrounding all of that. And what about Harbor Entrance? You know, all that's up in the air. And what I keep hearing, it's Disneyland Forward. Nothing will happen unless Disneyland Forward is approved. So,
yeah,
the rumblings are there to that spot, Danny. Do you think that it could fit some type of Avatar? Because if Avatar's coming, a big show building's coming. You know what I mean? Where's that going to go? Not even the land you're walking in. Where's the big show building going
to
go?
Exactly. We have to kind of go back a little bit in history to like pre-2020. When Disney was already ready to go, they were already ready to build in this space beforehand. We had the Eastern Gateway Project. So if you search Eastern Gateway Project Disneyland on Google, you'll find all these sorts of photos about it. Disney purchased the Carousel Inn and Suites on Harbor Boulevard, and no one knew why. And then they demolished it, and no one knew why. And then they announced the Eastern Gateway Project, which was the big giant parking lot behind all the hotels on Harbor, which is the Pumbaa parking lot. Disney was planning on building a parking structure that was much larger than the Mickey and Friends parking structure that they currently had off of Ball and Harbor. So this parking structure they had plans for, they had concept art for, and more importantly, the map, with the that came with the concept art showing kind of where it would all fit, basically showcased that the Carousel Inn, which was demolished and to this day now is just a parking lot, extension for the parking lot that's there. But Disney was using that space as the walkway, to cross between the hotels on Harbor Boulevard, because those hotels are still there. And then they're planning on building a bridge that went across Harbor Boulevard in order to reach Disneyland for those guests that were parking in that structure. But the more important thing I wanted to talk about was this map. That map showcased that the current transportation plaza, so if you've ever entered in from the Harbor Boulevard side, there's a big transportation plaza right there. All these hotel buses are coming in there. Orange County Transit Authority buses are coming in there. ART buses are coming in there. Of course, you know the Toy Story lot buses go in there. And then, of course, the cast members get dropped off there, too, in their bus. So this bus transportation plaza was earmarked for Disney California Adventure construction and expansion back then. And that was the whole purpose of this gateway with the bridge crossing over, because they would no longer need this entrance. For all intents and purposes, this entrance really is a security weak point for Disney, right? It's off of a main street. A lot of the negative situations that Disney encounters lately, I feel, all happen around this harbor side. It's like a high security side, typically, with as far as the presence. There's usually police there. So in all reality, Disney would probably love to see this section go anyway. But if you think about it, Disney's Disney California Adventure Park in the Hollywoodland area, right behind it all, is this transportation plaza. So if you think about where Monsters, Inc. is, where the Stage 17 building is, directly behind that is a small backstage area, and then these bus loops where you wait in line. So if you ever waited in line for a Toy Story bus to go back to Toy Story Lot, you've waited directly behind Stage 17. It's like right there. You see it on the other side of the fence. So just imagine all those bus loops gone and all of that space right there being given to Disney California Adventure Park for a huge land expansion, which is definitely big enough for something like an Avatar.
Which simply adds capacity. That's the big one.
Yep, and it adds capacity to a park. Super weird, Mondo, about it being at Disney California Adventure is that that area is Hollywood. So it's like 1920s Hollywood. Not necessarily like the transition I would expect to go into an Avatar themed land. It seems more of like a likely transition when you're coming from Animal Kingdom, but it's kind of a weird transition from Hollywood.
I think they've given up on all that. It's not even California Adventure anymore. It's just IP land over there at DCA. Nothing makes sense over there, Danny. We had PhilharMagic with Stage 17 Avengers Superstore and Monsters, Inc. Yeah, I think they've just given up. Yeah, Hollywood Lounge. I think they've given up. They've given up on that corner of theming. But I think it would be a great spot for Avatar. And to me, they can't wait to get Avatar on Disneyland property. It's been nothing but successful in Florida, and you best believe this thing's gonna sell individual lightning lanes, and people would plan hotel stays left and right to visit this thing multiple times, like wherever it lands, if it's Disneyland or DCA. Avatar is going to just be a gross for the company big time. And be able to charge more for hotels, which we know that's going to happen for sure.
Exactly. But yeah, it's definitely doable in that space right there. So I never thought of it that way, but it was like, it's always been there, right? That was Disney had shared that a while ago, and we kind of just overlooked it because when they immediately canceled plans to build that structure after they announced it, kind of forgot, like, hey, there's this space that Disney could use for expansion.
They've already, we've seen concept art for it.
Yeah. So you can Google it now and see the concept art of that space. I mean, there's nothing there. It's just like a blank space, but you can see how they've gotten rid of it and implemented the gateway instead. For all intents and purposes, for those that don't know, the parking structure behind the hotels would have its own security, just like Mickey and Friends does. So that you do the security there. And then once you cross over that bridge, you've already gone through security. So you're free at that point to just continue on through. And then that new parking structure would then have the bus and transportation loop that used to be outside Disneyland. So all those hotels in the area and the city buses and the transportation buses that use the hotel, the loops for Disneyland, they would now just go to that structure and then join the same security lines that the guests from the structure are going into. Yeah. So a little bit more organization that way. I'm not sure if they're keeping the exact design as is, but it makes the most sense.
Yeah, and they've already planned it.
Yeah, and then for that concept art that was given by Disney, it still showed the Toy Story buses dropping off of a very, essentially, if you imagine now how the Toy Story buses enter off the street on property and they turn right, they would essentially in this concept map would turn left, and they would go into a small little loop for just Disney buses, and then they would come back out and go back where they came from. So and I would imagine in that case, then you would, there'd be no option other than to go through security at Toy Story. Otherwise, if you choose to walk from Toy Story, you're going to have to walk to that structure and go through security there. So that would be difficult. But the structure, Mondo, I know you and I lived through building the Pixar one. That took a while. So this one is bigger. So I would imagine it's going to take longer.
But I feel like Disney has an incentive to get it done fast.
They do.
This one, I don't know if they could take that time.
I agree. Well, I think that wraps up today's episode. I really just wanted to...
One more quick one, Dan. We can't go without it. We can't go without it. The critters and their backstory all of a sudden getting dropped on us on the Disney Parks blog today.
Oh, yes.
Let me read it verbatim, Danny. I'm going to try to be fast. This is Disney Parks blog. In the bayou, Princess Tiana is getting ready to throw a big party. But there's a bit of a mix-up between Prince Naveen and Louis. Uh-oh. The princess suddenly finds herself in need of a band. Where did that storyline come from? I thought it was about finding a secret ingredient, Danny. And it seemed like this tonal shift into the critters being the all-stars of this ride. I don't know. To me, it kind of threw me for a loop of like, what? So it's about the critters now, not a secret ingredient?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense too now when you think about it as a whole. Originally, yeah, we saw a much different Tiana's Bayou Adventure, right? In the concept art, we saw Mama Odie's treehouse as part of the mountain. And the plans have changed multiple times. So this ride has seen multiple renditions. It's had delays. So who knows what the original true interior and storyline was going to be. In fact, there's some key indicators of this video that Disney released today that indicates it could have been filmed in the 2020-21 era. And they just used it now for the first time. With some other clips kind of rolled into it. So there, but yeah, it seems like things might have changed. And it makes sense now when you think about, Mondo, when they said Lewis's Critter Club, like store. There's like this focus on critters, and it's almost like originally maybe Disney had plans to completely change Critter Country to only be Tiana. And we just didn't know about that yet. And in fact, when you look at the model from D23 Expo 2 years ago, the Briar Patch shop and was the only part on that side of Critter Country that was on the model, and it had no signage, nothing to indicate that anything was different, because I don't think they were ready to commit to anything yet. They had ideas, but they didn't want to put it in a model, so it was just the Briar Patch on the model but with no sign on it. And that's kind of what we ended up getting. We got Ray's Berets, and then we got Lewis's Critter Shop. So I think there was a shift, Mondo, to be like, hey, we're going to keep Critter Country. We're not going to get rid of Winnie the Pooh. I heard rumors that there might have been original plans to turn Winnie the Pooh into a Dr. Facilier kind of attraction. And it didn't end up panning through. So maybe we would have had, like, maybe the original plan was Tiana's Bayou Adventure at Hungry Bear, or Tiana's Palace Restaurant at Hungry Bear, Tiana's Bayou Adventure, and then a Dr. Facilier ride, and then now it's no longer Critter Country. But I think because they're keeping Winnie the Pooh, because they're keeping Hungry Bear, they have to incorporate the critters. And so I think we saw the whole shift change to, like, let's make this a lot about critters because it's still in Critter Country, and we got to make it fit the theme. So we see Lewis's Critter Club for the store. we're seeing a bigger focus on critters in the ride and how they're playing a big part in the finale of the attraction.
Let me say this though, Daddy. It seemed like, you know, I could be wrong about all this, but it really seemed like they were trying to progress Tiana's story. They were trying to showcase her success from her restaurant. And where things have gone, because Disney Plus show at some point in time is coming. Seeing the tonal shift to critters is like, to me, is like, how is this doing any of that? What? I don't know, dude. It just threw me for a loop, Danny. I feel like the focus got lost or something.
Yeah, it definitely seems like we've had teasers for like 6 different versions of this ride.
And like from where it all started with a Mama Odie tree at the top, which we were like, what? That's what we're getting? This is amazing. To like a salt dome with greenery, and it's about musical critters. Like, how did we get here?
if you think about it too, what was in Splash Mountain, right? Musical critter.
Literally.
So it probably was the easiest for them to transition, and I hope it's not the case that they had to like cut the budget, because I really do think Princess Tiana does deserve like an amazing attraction, because the movie has such great music and everything. And one thing I did know, the ride's gonna have, they made a big focus on the ride having original music, and they've like spent so much time focusing on that when they went to New Orleans for
research and stuff,
different research and jazz fests and all that kind of stuff. But when we've seen now, because Florida's so far ahead, their ride is testing, and they're testing with music from the movie. You can hear it. It's playing on the outer part. So at least we know some of the beloved music from that movie is going to be in the ride. And then there will be original songs in the attraction too. So it's nice knowing that at least some of the songs that made the movie are going to be there, because you can't have a Tiana ride and not have Down in New Orleans.
It's too important. Yeah. It's too important. So
it's nice to hear that and know it's going to be a part of it. But I'm glad you brought that up. I did forget that.
So. No, it's just, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on at these theme parks.
Yeah. But that, like I said, this wraps up the episode. I really wanted to just focus on sharing my experience for D23 and hammering down, knowing the ticket types, knowing, like Mondo said, get your second options, your backup option. That's a huge thing when you're going into this. Be prepared to wait in queues. Have your payment ready. Have all that kind of stuff ready, because you don't have much time when the time comes. So I wanted to get that out there and then also talk about the latest news. But I want to thank you again, Mondo, for joining me back on here again. It's been
always
a while.
Always down
since,
to be here.
Since you've been on here. And for those that don't know, you can find Mondo on Five Fires YouTube, his channel. Just search Five Fires on YouTube. You'll find it right away. He's also Five Fires on just about every social platform out there with that same name. So you can find him on X, on Instagram, on YouTube, and all the other places. So search Five Fires and you'll find that.
Thank you, Danny.
And then... you can find us together on Speculation Sunday, which is on Mondo's YouTube channel. It's typically on Sunday. Sometimes it's on a different day, but usually it's on Sunday, and you can always find it there to search for it. But thank you again for listening, everyone, and we'll see you next week on another episode of the 5571 podcast.